From good frame to great frame. From success to significance. From ordinary to extraordinary. From being the best in the world to being our best for the world. These are some of the shifts that DeWitt Jones challenges us to make in our lives. He reminds me a lot of that one leper, vibrating with excitement and proclaiming to everyone within earshot, "Look at this. Isn't it great? Wow. Thank you. Thank you to my employer for giving me vision and opportunity. Thank you to my craft for teaching me that change is possibility. Thank you to all the people I've ever met who inspired me to know myself more fully and give myself more fully." DeWitt Jones is a photographer whose work has become a metaphor for fully engaging in life and approaching life with an attitude of appreciation and celebration. As we have watched his DVD together, we have discovered some ways of thinking about our lives and talking about our lives that give new insight and new perspective. This week, I received via email some photographs taken just last Sunday by one of our church members. The subject matter is Elsie Franklin baking her phenomenal shortbread cookies. The description accompanying the photographs said, "Here are some great frames. They're great not so much because of the skill of the photographer, but because they were taken in love, and they are pictures of love." These pictures are an example of how great frames come about at PBUMC. Elsie is a longtime member of the church. She loves to be here in worship, but in her 90s now, she is not able to drive herself down here. So Elsie's son, Peter, usually is her driver and her escort, but there are times when he needs to be out of town. Enter Lynn and Diane. Lynn and Diane had come to know Elsie from seeing her in church, from visiting with her at the coffee fellowship, and they volunteered to be the backup drivers. They don't live in Pacific Beach, as Elsie does. They probably live at least a half an hour away, but they plan the extra time to go to Elsie's home and collect her. As a way of saying thank you, Elsie gives them cookies. You only have to eat one of Elsie's shortbread cookies to know that they are, in fact, the best in the world. So Lynn and Diane asked to have a lesson in how to bake those delicious treats. Unfortunately, when the day of the lesson came, Lynn was sick and couldn't come. Thoughtfully, Diane took pictures so that Lynn could have some way of sharing in the experience. Equally thoughtfully, when Lynn saw them, she sent them on to me so that I, too, could have yet another reason to celebrate what's right with the world. As you've seen already in the service this morning, and we'll see further evidence of, our church has quite a collection of great frames. The Wednesday night ministry, the softball team, the children reenacting Bible stories, the parade ministry, the youth program, the music ministry. We have Mark Magus going the extra mile to create a church picnic where people can find nourishment in both body and spirit. We have the Board of Trustees working tirelessly to create a church exterior that's not only photogenic, but inviting and welcoming to newcomers. We have a whole congregation that bands together to encourage and support their pastor. We have all this and so much more. We possess these great frames not only because of the willing and talented photographers in our midst, Marty, Ronnie, Robert, Dee, and others, but also because you, the people of this church, already know the secret of going from good to great, ordinary to extraordinary, success to significance. You know that the transformation is about love and trust and openness to change. You know that it's about gratitude. You were glad to hear DeWitt Jones put these concepts into words, but you knew them already. You learned them from the Bible and from practicing your faith. You're like the owners of a thriving apple-growing enterprise. A visitor came along and said, "My goodness, I noticed that not only is your orchard successfully producing apples, I also noticed that you employ 700 people, that you've built very livable housing for all of them, that you offer on-site childcare and counseling services, that you've opened a school and established a scholarship fund, that you founded a residential program for troubled teenagers. Furthermore, I noticed that you personally have adopted 6 children from India and that you worked to organize an emergency referral hotline and services for the homeless in the nearby town." "I'm rather astonished," said the visitor. "How do you account for all of that?" "God," answered the owners. "God gets all the credit." Giving God the credit is your habit, too. That's why you're here in church this morning. And so it's probably no surprise to you that giving God the credit is a recurring theme, a repeated action, a continuous declaration in the Bible. After a birth or after a battle, after a dramatic rescue or escape, after a bountiful harvest, or after an experience of being disciplined or corrected, before a meal, during a worship services, on a mountaintop, next to a body of water, upon completing a journey or when starting out, in celebrating a friendship or a marriage, after recovering from an illness, even when surviving a catastrophe, the people of the Bible are always saying, "God has done great things for me, and holy is God's name." Psalm 113 has been selected as a scripture for today because it's so representative of all the times and all the ways that the people of this book give thanks and credit to God. As I read it, you might hear echoes of the words and songs of Moses, Miriam, Hannah, David, Job, Mary, Zechariah, Simeon, even the leper. Some of these people lived hundreds of years apart from each other, but all of them were extremely mindful of God's presence in their lives and in the world. Psalm 113 contains reference to specific actions of God, highlighting that God has special concern for the poor, the downtrodden, the lonely, and the left out. You will be reminded in hearing these words that God is greater than the earth and yet deeply involved with it. This is Psalm 113, a statement of faith and gratitude. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and God's glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth, who raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes, with the princes of God's people? God gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. The fact that God deserves the credit for the positive aspects of our lives may be evident to those of us in church, but apparently it's not obvious to everybody. Jesus healed 10 lepers, but only one came back to say thank you. As Jesus himself asked so poignantly, "What happened to the other 9? One observer of our human nature says, instead of thanking God for another blessed year, we occasionally thank science, or we thank the human spirit, or we thank something else. We forget, or we fail to realize that had it not been for the mercies of the Lord, we would have all been consumed by the challenges of trying to survive our various situations. Since the society that we live in may not honor, or acknowledge where the true credit belongs, it's good that we are able to gather together and to give our thanks to God. By doing so, we not only deepen our own faith, renew our own faith, we may also be able to serve as a beacon of spiritual light and truth to others. James Howell tells the story of how he once received a very worn, very used pocket knife as a gift. This gift was given to him by the 89-year-old patriarch of a church community, an older man who was unassuming but very wise. James was going to be moving away from this community, and his future held a lot of uncertainties. This grandfatherly elder gave James his very own pocket knife as a parting gift, something James had never thought of needing or wanting. And as this gift was given, some words came with it. The giver said, "Carry this knife around with you in your pocket. Someday, when you're having a bad day, feel the weight of it there and remember that somebody loves you." Sure enough, many over the years, this gift from the representative of a community that gathers to give credit to God has given James hope and courage in situations that otherwise would have caused him to despair. Furthermore, over time, because of that gift of the pocket knife, James has grown ever stronger in his affirmation that every good gift, from the shade of a tree, to the grin on a face, to the juiciness of an orange, to each and every breath that we take, comes ultimately from God. Today, James is among those who says with full conviction, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." Giving the credit to God is a constant activity throughout the Bible and throughout the church. And, as the story of the pocket knife indicates, the methods of expressing gratitude are quite varied. In the Bible, ways of giving God thanks and praise include praying, singing, making speeches, giving testimony, and undertaking pilgrimages. Means of honoring God and giving credit to God also include the construction of altars, the building of memorials and places of worship, as well as the offering of crops, animals, money, and even children to God's service. Joshua piled up a mound of stones. Hannah brought her son Samuel to be raised on a holy mountain and helped the priest with his duties. Solomon built a temple. Mary sang a song. Joseph led his family on a journey to Jerusalem. Paul wrote letters from prison. A comparable variety of ways of thanking and honoring God exists in church today. One of those ways continues to be the giving of money. Money given to the ministry of Christ is ultimately money given to God. It's given as a way of saying, "You, God, have given me life and abilities. You have blessed me. You are the source of all that makes life precious and good. Thank you, God. You have done great things for me. Holy is your name." And for many people, that's all that needs to be said or understood about giving. It is a gesture or an act of gratitude, just like the act of gratitude demonstrated by the healed leper who bowed down at Jesus' feet. For other people, there is an additional part of the equation. Some people like to know exactly what is going to happen to their gifts. They want to understand how their money is specifically going to be used in God's service. And so it is for the sake of that group of people that our church's proposed budget for the year 2007 was included in your bulletin this morning. Wanting to know what's going to happen to the money is no better or no worse than feeling like really the only thing that matters is just the act of giving itself. If you're one of those who gives in trust and gratitude to God and you don't need to know the details of the church finances, then pay no attention to this green piece of paper. Turn in your estimate of giving card and be happy. If, on the other hand, you are one of those who's motivated by knowing the exact nature of the ministry projects to which you are going to be giving, or you want to know the specific goals being taken on for the year 2007, then please feel free to study this piece of paper and ask questions. Even more information than this can be provided if you need it. Please also understand that each and every week, the money that is given here and dedicated on God's altar is carefully counted and recorded to the purpose for which it is given. Every month, a treasurer's report is issued detailing all of the church's expenses and all of its income. And every year, an auditor reviews all of our financial practices to make sure that the church is doing everything it possibly can to protect the funds entrusted to us and to use them for the glory of God. If anyone somehow has yet to receive an estimate of giving card, I have placed the remaining ones available in the racks in front of you there with the hymnals and the Bibles. And so if you need one still, search around. And if that fails you, please ask one of the ushers or myself at the end of the service. So far we have 65 households who have returned these estimate cards. Some arrived during the week and they're here on the altar this morning. Our goal is that by the end of the month, we might hope to have 100 cards. Whatever your personal method of giving is, whatever your strategy, it will be received as a sign that you are giving credit to God for the faith and hope in your life. It will also be understood that you are celebrating with your gifts, celebrating what's right with God's world, and celebrating what's right with God's church. We want to join together now in a prayer which gives voice to the vision that both individually and together, our lives would bring praise to God. Holy God, today we offer up a thanksgiving prayer written years ago by Ralph Waldo Emerson. For each new morning with its light, for rest and shelter of the night, for health and food, for love and friends, for everything thy goodness sends. We thank you, God. With all our hearts, we thank you. With mind and spirit, we thank you. There aren't enough ways to say how much we thank you. Within each heart, O God, we offer up our deepest prayers. You know our needs. You see our triumphs. You lead us in the way of faith. And we join our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.